Praise the Lord. About 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, our service was at Expo. And as usual, I would take taxi with my son down to Singapore Expo. And it's my practice, as some of you know, that I would talk to the taxi driver. And this time around, I was talking to him and found that he was from another church. And I asked, hey, why are you not in the church today? And he said, oh, times are difficult, the hard to make money. And I said, But he said he still go to the cell group. Right? And I told him, hey, you know why we have Sabbath? No? And he said, just for rest. And I said, no, it's not just for rest. Because Exodus tells us that Sabbath is God's sign and covenant with us, that we belong to Him, that He is our God and we are His people. Just like marriage, how do you know whether a couple is married or not? By the wedding ring. And so, if we know whether we have a relationship with God, is by keeping the Sabbath. And I was sharing with him that, you know, when we put God first, when we honor God, God will honor us. And so along the journey, as we arrived at Singapore Expo, and he was actually not feeling very well. He was coughing. And so I offered to pray for him after he dropped us off. And so I prayed for him. After that, he said, you know, I'm so glad to meet you today. It made me very joyful. Today, my sermon is seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, His righteousness. We have covered Matthew chapter 5, which Jesus taught about His kingdom, blessedness, and happiness. Who are blessed and happy? The poor in spirit, those who mourn, and the remaining seven. And they are the blessed one because they are living the kingdom rules and the kingdom values. They are those who will inherit the kingdom of heaven. They are the children of God. They are those who will see God. Remember that Matthew was written for believers and Christians. So these are very applicable to us and relevant to us too. The Lord Jesus continued to appoint his followers as salt and light. And salt that is good and useful as opposed to good for nothing. A light that shines and gives light to everyone, producing good works that others may see and glorify our Father in heaven. What is our relationship with God? It is not the Lord. Jesus says, your Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven. He said it three times. In Jesus' kingdom, we are the children of God. This is a great privilege that God is our Heavenly Father. We are slaves to darkness, but now we are set free and adopted into the family of the King of Kings. Then Jesus continued to talk about the law and the prophets, the importance of it. He came to fulfill it, not to abolish it. The earth will disappear, but not a jot and tittle of it will disappear. Then the Lord Jesus continued to teach about the Ten Commandments on murder, adultery, divorce, not to use God's name in vain, and so on. Jesus didn't come to give a new meaning to the Ten Commandments. He came to tell us about the heart and the essence of the Ten Commandments so that we do not commit murder, adultery in our hearts. And now we are going on to Matthew chapter 6, which I'll be covering the second part of it from verse 19 to 34. The key verse is in Matthew 6, 33. This is one of our key memory verse. I'm sure most of us will be familiar with it. So I hope that we can all do it from memory. Is that okay? Yeah. Matthew 6:33, ready? 1, 2, 3. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:33. Praise the Lord. Why did the Lord Jesus say, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well? What is he trying to talk about? And most of us on first look will think that, yeah, this is a no-brainer. It's about obedience. It's about submission to Jesus' kingdom and his laws. Not really. It is actually a solution. A solution to a problem. What problem it is? The clue is in the latter part. And all these things will be given to you. It is a solution to two problems. Wealth and worry. Simply, it is about money. Money plays a big part in our lives. Money is not everything. Because it is useless to a man dying of thirst in desert. There's a saying in Chinese, 钱不是万能的,但是没有钱是万万不能的. Let me translate in English for some of you. It means that money cannot make everything possible, but without money, many things are made impossible. I try my best to translate. So the Lord Jesus is addressing about our money problem. Let's commit today's message to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we declare that all that we have comes from you. All our money and possessions and even our ability to make money comes from you, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you open our hearts and our ears to hear what the Lord Jesus says about money, so that, Lord, we have the right understanding and attitude towards money and how to handle money. Not to serve mammon, but to serve you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We all know clearly Jesus' command to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. It is not just a command, but also a solution to the two things he spoke about, wealth and worry. The main question we need to answer is, why and how does seeking God first deal with the problem of wealth and worry? Part one is to seek God first when handling wealth. And let's read the passage in Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Verse 19. Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Is it wrong to store treasures for ourselves? Some people think that storing up treasures for ourselves is wrong. But Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Storing up treasures for ourselves is not wrong. The problem is, where do we store the treasures? That is on earth, that is wrong. Can you see that Jesus wants us to have treasures for ourselves? Tell the person next to you, Jesus wants to give you treasure. Jesus wants to give you treasure. And so let's be very clear, right from the start. Jesus is not against storing up treasures. He wants us to have treasures. How many of you will say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I should hear some of you say, amen, hallelujah, preach it, brother. Firstly, storing up treasures for ourselves is a wise move when it helps us to achieve meaningful purpose. In 1 Chronicles 29, King Saul had already died in battle. David became king of Israel. At that time, the temple has not been built, and the worship was still at the tabernacle. And King David wanted to honor God by building a temple, and the temple had to be great that fits the Lord God, the King of the universe, the Lord God of Israel. So he offered his personal treasures of gold and silver to the Lord. The total weight that is estimated was 330,000 kilograms of gold and silver. That is about 1.5 of our Boeing 747 aeroplane. 1.5. Because of his example, his leaders also gave their treasures of gold and silver. The total weight is estimated 510,000 kilograms. That is 2.5 times the weight of a Boeing 747. So the combined weight is over 880,000, which is 4 Boeing 747. The estimated value of that was about 16.6 billion USD. 16.6 billion USD. Wow. And when they gave freely, joyfully, and wholeheartedly. King David, he praised the Lord for the generous giving that his people followed. He said, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generous as this? Everything comes from you, and what we have given you only comes from your hands. 1 Chronicles 29, 14. And David rightly attributed all the wealth belongs to God. And that is the reason why he could give. He recognized that all that he has is not his, it's all the Lord's. And God is the first giver. We are only giving him what belongs to him. And big projects like this require a large amount of money and resources, which first has to be accumulated over time, so that at the right time, they can be dispersed. When you buy a car or a house, you also need to raise money. In King David's case, they dispensed what they have accumulated to build a temple in honor for the Lord. Do we also have big projects? Of course we do. We have the church land in Tampines Street 86 that the Lord has given to us 30 years, after 30 years of persevering prayer. We have really bidded for church land many times, explored different places. The last was Sengkang, which we lost. I think it's so amazing that God has given us Tampines. When BBTC was built, Pastor Philip said that he didn't know what to call the church, whether Bedok or Tampines, and decided to call it both. Bethesda Bedok Tampines Church. Some other churches laugh and they say, so what a mouthful. But since BBTC was built in Bedok, there was still a vision to church plant in Tampines. So praise the Lord, he didn't give us Sengkang, but gave us Tampines. Hallelujah, let's praise the Lord. When we didn't get the Sengkang land, Jasmine was so disappointed. And rightly so. Because There was so much positivity, so much enthusiasm, excitement, and she had to put a lot of effort into all the documentation to submit for the bidding. And lo and behold, we didn't win. In fact, we didn't even qualify for the bidding. The Tampines land was clearly God-given in God's faithfulness. It is important. Is it important for us to store treasures for ourselves? Of course. Because without that, there is nothing much we can give. So what if we don't have much right now to offer? Tell the Lord that you want to give and ask Him for the money and start accumulating. Given the current funds that we have, we only need an additional 20 million in about a year's time. But if that 20 million is all loans, then we'll need to continue raising funds, perhaps over a few years, to repay all the loans. So I think there will still be opportunity to give for quite a few years. But when we give to the Lord, then what about us? Will we be left to nothing? After King David and his people gave to the building of the temple, they actually became the wealthiest, the strongest, the most prosperous nation at the time under King Solomon's rule. What about King David? What did he get? Verse 28 says, he died at a good old age, having enjoyed a long life, wealth, and honor. So after giving, the Lord replenished even more. Remember Pastor Philip shared with us also that the rewards of the Lord are not only eternity in heaven, but also here on earth. That is in Mark 10:30. That says, those who have served, those who have given to the Lord, will not fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. When is it? In this present age. Amen. This is a powerful and precious promise that Jesus gave. And I highlight this in my Bible. Remember to mark it. Mark 10:30. And the Lord Jesus also promised in Luke 6:38. He said, give and you'll be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. What kind of measure? A measure that you use is a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. When we go to JB, one of the things that drivers must do is to pump petrol before they leave the Malaysia customs, right? My full tank in Singapore cost me about $80. And that is after the 20% discount. In Malaysia, my full tank will cost me only $40. How many of you have seen drivers when in Malaysia, when they pump petrol, what do? They shake the car. Anyone ever seen that? They shake the car. Quite funny, yeah. Shake the car. They think that by shaking the car, they can squeeze in more petrol. And Jesus said about our giving, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, God will replenish, give us over and above what we are given. Will you say amen? Amen. So firstly, storing up treasures for ourselves is wise when it helps us to achieve meaningful purpose. Secondly, storing up treasures for ourselves on earth is short-sighted. We just covered earlier that storing up treasures for ourselves is wise, but it helps us to achieve the meaningful purpose. But here, if we are just storing up treasures on earth without achieving any meaningful purpose, it is short-sighted. Why? Firstly, if we are just putting money in the bank, we are actually losing value due to inflation over time. 30 years ago, we used to have prayer meeting at BBTC. And after that, we will go and eat supper. And my favorite to eat is roti prata. Because each roti prata cost me only 50 cents. I will buy 4 prata. It only cost me $2. 4 pratas is quite a lot to eat for a young man. Now, the cheapest prata I can find right now is $1.10. If I decided to save that $2 30 years ago, and I say now, I want to eat prata, I take the $2 from 30 years ago, how many pratas can I eat? One. Because one prata costs $1.10. My $2 can only buy one prata. Two prata will cost me $2.10. Or $2.20. Discount. So people buy properties, they buy expensive bags and watches. But one day, they will also wear out and corrode. Okay, precious metals like gold and diamond will probably not corrode. Diamonds are forever, right? Ladies. Who said Liao Lui? Diamonds are forever, but not forever in our hands. They can be stolen by thieves and scammers. Ultimately, we will lose them because our lives on earth are only temporal. We'll all die one day or otherwise be raptured when Jesus comes a second time. Yet many are still accumulating wealth on earth without meaningful purpose. Since treasures on earth don't last, Jesus said, store up treasures for yourselves in heaven. The Lord is not opposed to us storing wealth for ourselves, but He taught us where to store them. That is in heaven. Before the end of our lives on earth, we must transfer our treasures on earth to heaven by investing in projects of eternal value, such as the building of His church. Otherwise, all our treasures will be lost. All our efforts will be wasted. So storing treasures for ourselves on earth is short-sighted. Lastly, why did Jesus instruct us wisely to store up treasures for ourselves in heaven? In contrast with treasures on earth, treasures in heaven will not have any dangers faced on earth. They will not lose value. They will not corrode. They will not be stolen. They are eternal, transferred from earth to a heavenly investment bank account. And Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are our treasures on earth or in heaven? Jesus said that one who stores up treasures on earth is not rich towards God. Luke 12, 21 says, is our heart on earth or in heaven? I think while treasures on earth are more tangible for us, there is a problem because our hearts will therefore be on earthly things and not on heavenly, eternal things. And Jesus continued to say about the eye being healthy or unhealthy. What is that? That is in the NIV. And in NKJV, it says that the eye being single or evil. What is this evil eye? Proverbs 28:22 says, a man with an evil eye hastens after riches. This evil eye is the lust of the eyes and being covetous. Whereas Psalm 123, 1 to 2 says, behold, the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. The eye that is single looks earnestly to the Lord. The single eye and the evil eye is contrasted in John chapter 12, verse 6, differentiating between Mary's giving and Judas coveting. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, a banquet was held in Jesus' honor. Mary, who is the sister of Lazarus, expressed a deep appreciation and worship for Jesus by offering an expensive gift of perfume, poured it on Jesus' feet, and wiping his feet with her hair. Mary's eyes were single towards the Lord. Judas, on the other hand, he criticized that it was such a waste. The perfume could have been sold and fed so many people. But the scripture exposed him that he wasn't really genuinely caring for the poor. He was hoping for the money to be handed to him for safekeeping so he could use it for himself. This is Judas' evil eye of covetousness. What did Jesus say about Mary? In Mark 14:6, Jesus said, she has done a beautiful thing to me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. It was just 2 days away. Jesus would be crucified. Mary didn't know about it, but she caught the rare opportunity to honor Jesus for his death. It was so significant that it was recorded in the Bible for us. Jesus said, truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. You know that the Lord has given us Tampines land. Would that also be a rare opportunity to honor God with sacrificial giving to build God's house in Tampines? I can imagine that there will be people like Judas who will mock our sacrificial giving and say, such a waste. But hey, we're giving it to the Lord. I imagine Jesus would say to you and me, you have done such a beautiful thing for me. You did what you could. Amen. After Jesus spoke about the heart and the eyes, Jesus said, no one can serve both God and money or mammon. We serve mammon as our God when the pursuit of earthly wealth rules us rather than God. Our eyes are not single towards God and our hearts are divided. Today, our mammon can be money, entertainment, games, luxury, travel, pleasures, stomach. Philippians 4:19 says their God is their stomach. This is gluttony. It can also be success in school when a student spends significantly more time on studies, tuition, or CCA, and neglects God's word and worship. Or someone who spends a lot of time making money, neglecting the Sabbath day. These precede God. There are many who will be willing to serve, but only with leftover time. When I am free, I will serve. Many times, they are never free. They serve the mammon, not God. God does not want merely our service. God wants to be first in our choices. So it is important for us to consider carefully, where is our heart? What kind of eyes do we have? Are we truly serving God or serving mammon? As we conclude the first part, seeking God first in how we handle our wealth, storing up treasures for ourselves is wise when it is for meaningful purpose. Storing up treasures for ourselves on earth is being short-sighted. It doesn't last. And this is the problem. And finally, seeking God first is storing up treasures for ourselves in heaven. And this is the best investment, such that we will get double reward, both in heaven and on earth. Our hearts undivided for the Lord, our hearts undivided for the Lord, eyes fixed on the Lord, we serve the Lord and not mammon. For part two, seek first God's kingdom to overcome your worries. Let's read the second part of the passage in Matthew 6, 25 to 34. In verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word worry occurs 6 times, and Jesus said, do not worry. He said that 3 times. Can you see how serious Jesus is about our worry? Do not worry. Do not worry. Do not worry. What kind of worries? About our life, what we'll eat, what we drink, what we wear. This is basic needs. This is not referring to you later when you go out for lunch, go to the food court, look at all the stores, and say, what to eat, what to drink. This is also not referring to you ladies who are going to prom or wedding dinners, looking at your wardrobe and say, what to wear. This is talking about basic needs. Worry. It is being troubled, having anxiety. It is constantly on your mind, affecting your life, when you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you're having your meals, when you can't sleep. It drains a person out mentally, emotionally, and a person cannot function. In extreme worst cases, it leads to depression, suicide. Worrying is really not useful. A waste of energy, mentally, emotionally, and also physically. Jesus asked a question, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? It is a rhetorical question. And we know the answer. No, of course not. Worrying cannot add a single hour to our life. So why worry? Any one of you have never worried before? This week, should be last week. Last week, on Monday, my youngest daughter, Isabeth, was unwell. She had fever. down, up and down, until Friday, until yesterday, and she was coughing quite badly. It pains Anna and I as parents to see how she was coughing, all the phlegm. When she sleeps, she keeps coughing, she can't really sleep well. Xin kia, hap bin. And most of you will be familiar with this song called Don't Worry, Be Happy. Right? Very nice, happy, catchy song. Does anyone of you know why the songwriter say, don't worry and be happy? Anyone of you know why? He says, when you worry, your face will frown. And that will bring everybody down. Don't bring everybody down like this. In your life, expect some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, it will soon pass. But what did he offer as a solution? He has no solution. He only tells you the problems. Don't worry, it will soon pass. Interestingly, yesterday, while taking care of Isabel, I watched a cartoon with her. And it showed a bunch of students sitting for a really tough exam. Everyone was worried. And there was this boy who was among them who said, don't worry, just laugh. Laugh with me and you'll be okay. Sounds familiar? Don't worry, be happy. And so he started laughing. And when the results came, the boy got zero. And he continued to laugh. Then the rest of the students look at him and they admired him like hero. No, how come this guy so chill? No, no anxiety. And admired that he took it so well. And so some also started to laugh. And they made themselves feel better. And a girl also did badly. And she also tried to laugh. Indeed, it made her feel better. Laughter is the best medicine, right? And they kept laughing as they walked back home. And when the girl got home and showed her mother her results, her mother was shocked and asked, what happened? And the girl said, don't worry, just laugh with me. It will be okay. The mother was dumbstruck by the daughter's response. Did the mother laugh with her? Piak! Scolded her for not being remorseful and repentant, having such mediocre mindset attitude towards studies. What is the lesson? It is not simply don't worry. You need to have wisdom. What to do, when to laugh. Then what is Jesus' solution to worry? He pointed to the birds and said, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? In other words, God will provide for us too. And just to be clear, the birds don't simply open their mouth and God just magically put worms into their mouth. Rather, God made available the worms and the birds go and find and eat them. And similarly, when God provides for us, doesn't mean that we simply sit and do nothing and wait for God to be your grab food, to be your food panda, and bring food for you. You need to go and work. God provides you with the ability to work. No job? Go and find a job. Prepare. Go for the job interview. God will open the door for you. The Lord Jesus also said about lilies of the field that God dresses them better than King Solomon in all his splendor. Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? It was Jesus' solution to our worries. What is the solution? The solution is our Heavenly Father. The solution is our Heavenly Father. It is not a thing, it's a person. Your Heavenly Father, Jesus repeated twice in the passage. Your Heavenly Father feeds the birds. Are you not much more valuable than they? Your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. The Lord Jesus knows that we are worried and anxious. Anxiety is an emotion. He taught how to attack the emotion with fact. Do we know the fact? The fact about God. Number one, God is our Heavenly Father. In contrast to the birds and the lilies, God is only their creator. And God values us much more above all His creations. Why? Because we're made in His image, filled with His breath of life. And number three, God cares for us much more than the birds and lilies. Can you see the word much more appears twice? Jesus said, are you not much more valuable than they? Will He not much more clothe you? What kind of God is He? He is the how much more God. We will be much more when we are with Him. Blessing happens when God is with us. And with us when we work. Without God, there is no blessing. In fact, remember the Chinese word fu? One side is God, the other side, yi, ko, tian. God, a person in the garden, the picture of the Garden of Eden, that is blessing. Fu. Without God, there's no blessing. In fact, I looked up. When you take away the 绳子, and you're left with 一口天, you're left with that side. What word is that? Nothing. It's not even a word. Without God, there is nothing. Everything was made by Him, for Him. And number four, God knows our needs. The Lord Jesus said, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. You know, sometimes I wonder if God would even care about my needs. They are so small matters. Heaven is more important, isn't it? Eternal things more important. But Jesus says that our Heavenly Father knows. He knows that we have needs. And I'm so glad that the Heavenly Father didn't consider our needs too insignificant and will ignore them. But He knows we have needs and He will provide and care for us. And why do so many Christians worry then? Because our lack of faith, lack of trust in God, lack of trust that God is our Heavenly Father. We didn't quite believe that. We don't think that He will value us more than other creation. We didn't quite believe that He will care for us much more than others. And that is why Jesus said, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? We need to have faith in God, our Heavenly Father who values us much more and cares for us much more. This is a choice we have to make. When we choose to believe God's promises instead of succumbing to our fears, we will find freedom from worries and anxiety. Our faith is not blind faith, but it is faith in God, our Heavenly Father, who loves to give good gifts to His children. And therefore, we can trust God and His promise and not worry. And put Him first over our needs and conflicting demands, and seek Him first as our solution. Did God really promise that He will provide and care for us? Jesus just asked some rhetorical question. Are you not much more valuable than they? Will He not much more clothe you? Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus Himself promised that. And what are all these things? It is both for the worry and for the wealth. God will not only provide, He will also prosper. Jesus wants us not just to have faith in the facts. He wants us to experience, to have the thrill of experiencing. And there is one condition. Jesus said, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. There is a condition. But God will do His part. All these things will be given to you as well. And we have to do our part. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. So let's summarize this portion. The solution is to our problem of worry and wealth. The solution is God. And to receive God's provision and prosperity, we are to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Quite clear, huh? Then what happens if we do not seek, we do not put God first? Earlier we talked about King David and the Israelites, about the giving of their personal treasures to build the first temple to the Lord. And that was about 1000 BC. 500 years later, Israel was no more. It was because the later kings and people no longer worshipped the Creator God, but they worshipped the gods of other neighbors, performing evil, such as sacrificing children to Molech, which is a demon, and they break God's commands and covenant. So the Lord gave Israel over to their enemies under the Babylonian Empire. The children of Israel were exiled from the land, and the temple of the Lord was set on fire and destroyed. And after 70 years, the Babylonian Empire was overthrown by Persia. And under the first Persian king, Cyrus. And King Cyrus, he decreed for the Israelites to return to Jerusalem. So the first batch returned. And they returned to rebuild the temple of the Lord. The Israelites who returned were busy trying to earn a living. But they struggled to have sufficient food, water and clothing. Exactly as what Jesus said. What to eat, what to drink, what to wear. And the Lord sent the prophet Haggai to speak to them. And what did the Lord say to them? Haggai 1, 5 to 6 and 9. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, but purse has holes. You expected much, but turn out little. Why? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you are busy with your own house. And Haggai 1:2 says, the Lord said to them, many of them are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house, the Lord's house. And what happened? Verse 9 to 11. The Lord said, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. What you brought home, I blew away. I call for a drought on the fields, in the mountains, on the grains, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock and all the labors of your needs. Who blow away? Who send the drought? God. How can God do such a thing? It is actually a good thing. Because God is the Heavenly Father. The Father disciplines His children, not condemning them, but wanting to restore them back to Him. Why didn't the Israelites rebuild the Lord's house? Because of the enemy's discouragement. As they built, the enemies wanted to disrupt their building, discourage them, put fears inside them, and so they slowed down, and finally they stopped. Then what happened? They got busy with their own lives. Going back to our mind map, the cause of the struggles was because the people put their needs and their self first before God. And the result was that God Himself blows away their income that they brought in. And God sends drought in their land, in their crops, and all their work. So what should the Israelites do? Did God say anything? And Haggai 1:8 says, go up to the mountains, bring down timber, build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. What are the people to do? To please God and honor Him. Remember, Jesus appointed us to be the salt and light, that we may bring glory to Him with our good work. So the Israelites, they obeyed, and they were not intimidated. The enemies came and put fear in them, but they continued their work. And it says there, God was watching over them. That what happened? The king, Darius, issued a decree to the enemies and said, do not interfere them. Do not disturb them. And you know what? I want you to now provide for the rebuilding expenses, to provide for the animals, for burnt offerings to God. And if you defy, you will have your houses destroyed. Such a big turnover of event when the people obeyed the Lord. And the Israelites, they prospered and they completed the rebuilding. In Ezra 6:14, so the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai, the prophet. They finished building the temple. They built and prospered. What can we learn here from this rebuilding of God's temple? The Israelites, they faced challenges from the enemies. These are real challenges. And finally, they stopped the rebuilding. What to do next? Get on with life. Even though the challenges from the enemies are real, when the people deprioritize and stop the rebuilding, God also stopped His blessings and provision. But when the Israelites obeyed and put God first to rebuild the temple, God restores the provision. In fact, God prospered them. And the Lord said to the Israelites in Haggai, give careful thought to your ways. And God said it twice. Give careful thought to your ways. We also need to give careful thoughts to our ways. Are we struggling for a living? What to eat? What to drink? What to wear? So under part two, seeking God first to overcome worries, we need to take time to consider. And consider the following carefully and ask ourselves, do I believe what Jesus said? Do I really believe what Jesus said? That God is my Heavenly Father. He values me highly. And He will take care of me. And this is Jesus speaking. This is not Jackie Chan speaking. This is Jesus speaking. Don't take my word. Jesus himself said so. Will we believe what Jesus say? So that I shall not worry, but choose to seek him first as my solution. The Lord says, give careful thought to your ways. This is something that you need to resolve in your heart. Can you believe God is your heavenly Father? Can you believe that he values you highly and will take care of you? If so, then will you choose to seek him first as a solution and claim the promise that all these things shall be given to you. God will provide for you and to prosper you. Let's round up. How do we seek God first? I'm putting here in a summary. Firstly, each one of us need to choose whom we need to, who we will serve, God or Mammon. We need to repent and renounce of any Mammon in our lives. Things that take precedence instead of God. We have to decide to serve God and that God will take first place in our lives. And secondly, we need to set our hearts to store up treasures in heaven. We do so by setting out to glorify the Father with the God-given resources. God has given us the resources, the time, the wealth, the talents, and prioritizing God's kingdom matters over other needs, such as food and shelter, and over conflicting demands in my daily life. And thirdly, seek God first by learning Jesus' kingdom laws, practicing them, and teaching others to obey. We cannot put God's kingdom first if we do not know what are the kingdom laws and we're not familiar with it. Therefore, we need to learn, and it will be an ongoing learning. We are basically disciples, and disciples are learners. And Pastor Philip has been a great role model and example for us. He was very diligent in the reading, the studying, the meditating, the memorizing of God's word. From the beginning, he has not stopped even now. When we do this, learning the word of God, practicing them, and teaching others to obey, this, Jesus says, is great in the kingdom of God. And this is also Jesus' great commission to make disciples of all nations. Fourthly, we seek God first by surrendering our worries to our Heavenly Father, seeking him first as my solution. God is our solution. And finally, in addition to the point three above, I would like us to also consider the following under the application. I will choose to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness by uniting with fellow travelers in BC to reach the community at Tampines Street 86. It is not just a church building, it is reaching the community. Second, using the resources God has given me, my time, my wealth, my skills to support church building project. Number three, aligning my studies, my marriage partner, and career in a way that will glorify my Heavenly Father. And number four, commit my current worry. What kind of worries do you have? Commit it to the Lord and seek his solution. You can put away your notes. I want to share a testimony. Last year, during the spiritual formation, Pastor Philip, he got all of us to stand up and got all of us to take out our wallets. And he said that we will bless our wallets so that it will multiply. None of us will be short. And that we will trust God by putting in faith gift. You know, for me, many times, giving that 10%, the tithes, is not too big a problem. Sometimes I use too much. Sometimes I got a bit surplus. And when Pastor gave that challenge, I thought, okay, I'm going to do something different. It will not be 10%, it will be more. I'm already like just barely there, you know, I'm going to give more. And so I exercised faith to give. And I gave. And I continued to give month after month. At the end of that month, this year, we had a spiritual formation again. We're talking about finances. And then I thought to myself, hey, last year, Pastor tells us to bless our wallets, you know. Got multiplication or not? Pastor said he expected multiplication. And I went to look at my treasures. And I calculated them. The amount addition that I put in there after 1 year, the amount that I put means after that 12 months, continue to give, because it's not 10% anymore, it's more than that. Continue to put that money over the 12 months. And I did the amount that I gave and what I have at the end, I gave that amount addition away, right? And when I look at what I have right now, I had 3.5 times more than what I given. 3.5 times more. And so, this is something that God delights to give treasures to us. Some of us have experienced it in different ways, small ways and big ways. And I believe that the church building, the church project, is really one of the most significant projects that God is giving an opportunity for us to see a multiplication of our wealth and our income. So I'd like to ask you all to just bow your heads. And if you don't mind, I'd like you all to stand as well. And I'd like you to come before the Lord, you and the Lord. You know your financial situation. Are you in lack? Are you suffering? Are you struggling? Or do you have abundance? And Pastor has made a call for gift. None of us need to give. It is up to you and I to make that choice. Scripture says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. No one should give under compulsion. It is you and the Lord. Will you believe that God will multiply your wealth? And to decide in your heart how much you will give, you don't have to decide now. But some of you, I believe, is challenged and said, I want to experience abundance. I want to experience a multiplication of my wealth. And you respond to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. And will you seek Him first and put in that faith amount? You don't have to decide today how much. The thing today that I'd like to challenge you to do is to decide on a faith amount and say, Lord, I'm trusting you based on what you have said over and above what we give. And the second call I have, there are many of us who are worried. You may not be in dire need for food, water, or clothing, but the anxiety is there. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus and receive His word into your heart, into your spirit, and apply to all of us. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't even labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word of assurance, your word of promise, your solution to our problems with money, with wealth, with worries. And the solution is God, our Father, who loves us much more, cares for us much more. Father, I bless my fellow brothers and sisters. I pray, Lord, for an abundance, because, Lord, you have desired to give treasures to us. And Father, I pray that we will have faith in you, who is our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who loves to give good gifts to us, that we may exercise faith to trust you, to give, and to seek you first, to serve you, your kingdom, and your righteousness. And that we will not serve mammon, because all things are yours. All things come from you. All our abilities come from you. And you choose who you will dispense it to. And you, Lord God, are our generous Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap of praise. Right, you may go to your small groups, and if anyone needs prayer, you may come out.